the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your Monday episode getting you ready for another week of free agency. Kansas City had a couple of moves last week. We will see if they make moves this coming week. Today I have with me Seth Kaiser of the Atlantic. Oh, wait, no, it's the Athletic, I think.
Either way, it's all the same.
Okay, fair enough. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. It's been a good weekend.
Sure. Uneventful weekend, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I just can't think of a single piece of news since we last talked that we could possibly talk about. I don't even know what to tell you.
Yeah, been very uneventful in Chiefs world, hasn't it?
Yes. You know, I think it's a good idea to get something out of the way right out of the gate. The Tyreek Hill thing, which it's related to Tyreek Hill in that there are a couple of police reports. And if you're listening to this podcast, you've heard a billion things. You've seen on Twitter, all that. Here's the deal. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what the investigation is. All we know is, according to the Star, there are a couple of police reports filed in which Tyreek Hill in one and Tyreek Hill, or not even Tyreek Hill in one, Tyreek Hill and his fiance, and then his fiance in one, are listed as other involved parties in some stuff regarding child abuse and battery. That's what the police reports say. If you want to know more, I did a segment with Carrington Harrison. You can take a look. I did a segment with Soren Petro and the show in Vern. I mean, I've made the rounds because I'm an attorney, and so I've had a lot of you ask me questions. So here's the deal. We're not going to be talking about that much here on Locked On Chiefs, and there's a reason for that, because right now we just don't know. And so if you want to know where I land on these things, what I think is or isn't in reports from a legal perspective, blah, 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 all that. Check out my Twitter feed. I'll be retweeting stuff where I do that kind of thing. And I just think, and Chris, tell me if you think I'm wrong here. I mean, we don't know enough to really speculate. All it would be just simple speculation right now, right?
Right. So, and I don't really care to go down that path, because there's too little that we don't know. Or there's too much that we don't know. Sorry, I said that wrong.
Yeah, there's too little that we know.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. And so, and I agree. And, you know, could things be going down a bad path? Sure. Could it all end up being nothing? Sure. And in either event, what I would just say is, you know, keep an eye out, try to think good thoughts or whatever it is that you do with regards to whatever kiddo is being listed in this report. It doesn't clarify that it's Tyreek's kid, which makes sense because, you know, juvenile police report, generally speaking, they don't do that. So, That's all you're going to hear from us until there's some concrete information out there. And right now,
could be a while.
Yes, it very well could be. Especially if it's a social services investigation. Sometimes those are very fast. Sometimes those are very slow. So we'll see. And in the meantime, there is some actual football stuff to talk about. And I don't know, Alex Okafor. Do you want to start there, Chris?
Let's start there.
All right.
I think it's a good signing. I really do like what he brings to this team and his size. He is more of a run stuffing defensive end. Yes, he can get after the passer a little bit, but he is definitely going to be an edge setter for the Chiefs this year. And I do like that, because I think that's something that they really missed. And before we really get into Okafor, I do want to mention one thing about that came out on Dee Ford's contract. San Francisco is leaving him in a contract year the next 2 years.
Yes. They're able to get out of it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They often set up their big contracts like that. And so that's just worth noting. They did it with Kaepernick too. And so I think it's something that they do to keep themselves protected.
No, and I understand. And they're giving him an extra $5 million than he would have gotten from Kansas City if on the franchise tag. But it just was very interesting to me to see that they're basically keeping him in a contract year for the next 2 years. He doesn't do well, and they don't want to pay him next year. They don't have to, and they don't have a huge hit.
That is one interesting thing that teams can do if they've got tons of room under the cap, is they can set up deals. Like the way the Chiefs have often had to do it over the last 5 years, they've never had they've had plenty of room this year, but they've never had just this boatload of room like San Fran or say like Indianapolis this year. And one interesting thing about that is you can kind of tweak things. And, you know, all players care about is the guaranteed money, and rightfully so, right? Because that's the real money on the contract. Well, when you have, you know, $60 million available under the cap, you can, rather than doing a big part of it as a signing bonus, which then gets prorated over the life of the contract, you can, in theory, just say, well, no, we're going to have your salary this year be $20 million. And your guarantee is $20 million, to where after that, it's not real money. And that's a really interesting way of doing things, and very smart if you can start off in the right position to do it.
Yeah, and hopefully Kansas City will eventually be able to get there. We'll see in the coming years. But it does appear to me that they're going through. And one interesting thing that I learned this weekend, and I'm not exactly sure what I was reading on this or where I saw this, but it was reported that next year, this is the last year, I believe, in the collective bargaining agreement where you can actually have dead cap space, or you can do a post June 1 cut.
Yes. Yep. They can't do it next year. You can't do it in the last year of a CBA.
Yep. And that could be a big deal.
Yes. It could be a very big deal.
I don't know that it's really going to affect Kansas City too much, but interesting to think about that you can't do that next year anyway. So, you know, Kansas City made a flurry of moves. We've already talked about most of them. Justin Houston's gone. Dee Ford is gone. Eric Berry is gone. And obviously we're going through a bunch of big changes. I did see you had an interesting retweet from Nick Jacobs.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that for just a second?
Yeah, sure. Nick, I think most people who listen here know who Nick is. He watches a lot of Chiefs film, I believe. And I should know this, and I apologize, Nick, if you happen to listen. I believe he's a producer. I've known of him for years. We've chatted just a little bit, not a ton. He puts in the work. He seems like a sharp guy, you know, based on what I know. And he had a really good take on Twitter where he just commented that there's a lot of angst going on about, you know, the Chiefs making moves. And he kind of pointed out, you know, this, he thinks maybe Chiefs fans might be used to them hanging on to players a year or two too long. And so now they feel like, oh man, I can't believe it. They're gone. You know, Houston's gone, Ford's gone, Barry's gone. What is happening right now? And he's kind of pointing out, like, you know, this is maybe what it looks like when you get out a year or two early rather than a year or two late. And I think that's a really good take. I think when you look at, I mean, the Chiefs could not keep going with Barry. Barry, at least for the last 2 years, is a loss in name only. The only thing that's lost there is hope and potential. And I think that's a really good point regarding that. Houston is at where he's at age-wise and contract-wise, and Ford was never in the long-term plan, so they got the best value they could for him.
Yep. And it almost looks like, and I almost hate calling it this, but it is really what I think it looks like. It almost looks like Kansas City is adopting the Patriot way, at least a little bit. And I think that they absolutely are going to have to, because they are in a new situation that they've never been in before. They're going to have a quarterback that they're going to be paying $20, $25 million in the next couple of years. And one interesting thing that I do think, and I talked to another buddy of the show, is Chiefs Bearcat. He's fantastic on the cap, in the Chiefs cap. And I do think that it's going to be very, very interesting, because I think their window with Mahomes is still 3 years. I don't think it's the 1 year that we're thinking before they sign him. Because to me, all that's going to count the next 2 years is going to be basically his prorated bonus, because he will sign a long-term deal and it'll be bonus proration. He's going to be under contract for two more years at least, and they'll pick up the fifth-year option, which will be his base salary for year five.
Sure. Someone ran an idea by me with Mahomes' contract that's kind of a fun hypothetical. I know we got to take a quick break, but does that sound like a good thing to bring us back in?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
We're going to take a quick break. And before we head to break, go ahead and ask to play Locked On Chiefs in your car on your smart device. It is a great way to listen to the show every day. Thank you. And we will be right back.
All right, we're back and we're talking contract stuff, and a good take by Nick Jacobs in terms of what the Chiefs are trying to do and what things are going to look like over the next few years here. So here's an interesting hypothetical. We all know the Patrick Mahomes contract is probably coming up after next season. They want to pay him early, which I've had a lot of people, let's start there. I've heard a lot of people that are bothered that they're going to pay him after year three and essentially waste one extremely cheap year and one very cheap year in a quarterback contract. Chris, what's your take on that?
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason I say it's ridiculous, especially if you think about it, they're going to be going into a new CBA in the next 2 years. And you have no idea what the salary cap is going to be. You do this contract before the new salary cap takes place, and you don't have an opportunity. You don't give any other quarterbacks a chance to get paid before you get Mahomes' deal done. Mm-hmm. You get it done as soon as you possibly can, so you have the market set the best you possibly can.
Sure. Assuming, so what I'm hearing you say is you're assuming that there's a significant risk that the next salary cap might make things, whether it's the salary cap's lower, which seems doubtful to me, but maybe the next CBA creates a situation where quarterbacks demand even more money. Or
well,
maybe
I think it's,
what if they do away with the franchise tag or something crazy?
Well, good luck getting the owners to agree to get rid of the franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be something that would be very difficult for the owners to ever accept, I believe.
Yes.
But what I do think is that the salary cap is probably going to go up and significantly, because you also, one thing that you also have going in here is you're going to have new TV contracts coming into play, and that's going to change the salary cap as well.
Yep.
So you want to get this done as soon as possible,
because the cap could skyrocket.
Yeah, who knows where Mahomes is going to be in 2 years.
Right, because in terms of the cap skyrocketing, imagine, and like you said, these new television deals, that's a big deal because it changes the revenue of the league, and also the salary cap is based on the collective bargaining agreement, right?
Well, and not only that, but they're also starting to look at maybe moving the NFL Combine to other places, which is going to bring in new revenue.
Yep.
They're looking to expand revenue. It all plays into the same thing.
Right. And if they change the formula a little bit, they could change the formula to, okay, we're going to give another 1% of the income to players, which means we're going to raise the salary cap in commensurate with that. 1% is a freaking lot of money.
Yes, it is.
In the NFL, we're talking that could result in a salary cap raise of 20 to 30 million at least. At least. And here's the deal. Salary cap, what agents argue versus what fans think about. Fans think in terms of money. I guarantee you that teams have to think in terms of percentage of salary cap. And agents are going to look at percentage as well. And so when you have a situation where it's like, well, man, the salary cap raised, blah, blah, blah. And a team says, well, here, we'll offer you the richest deal in quarterback history. An agent's going to say, wait a minute, that's not really costing you. You know, this is what he's really worth, blah, 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 blah. And so it does make sense to get him paid. And plus, if you get him paid now in a deal that's huge under the old cap, what if, and you know, this could be a Piper's dream, what if you pay him now under the old CBA and it's a big deal, but then in the new CBA, the salary cap goes up $40 million?
I think that's more realistic than it not going up $40 million. And maybe $40 million is a little high, but sure. I expect the cap to go up maybe $20, $25 million in the first year after the CBA is done.
And that's why I think getting Jones locked up, Hill, if all this stuff doesn't turn out to be a thing, those things, right, getting it done now before the new CBA, big, 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 big deal. So that's definitely important. But here's, so anyway, and we've wasted a lot of time on this. I do want to talk about my guy, Alex Okafor, because I agree with you that it's a good signing, but I disagree with you a little bit about his pass rushing. And so I want to talk about that. But first, here's an idea someone ran by me. And obviously, you know, with injury considerations, I don't think a team would ever actually do this. But what if the Chiefs said, hey, Mahomes, we'll sign you to a 10-year, $200 million contract? Which on their face is like, well, that's ridiculous. That's only $20 million per. But we'll guarantee all $200 million. Who says no?
Mahomes.
You think Mahomes says no to $200 million guaranteed?
Yes.
Guaranteed, though, Chris.
That's true. I get it. Kirk, here's the problem. Kirk Cousins got $84 million guaranteed over 3 years.
Absolutely, but that's only $84 million.
$84 million. No, and I get it. I get what you're saying, and that's not a horrible idea. I don't think he's going to go for that because I just don't think that he's going to go for that, because I don't think he's going to be willing to sign a contract guaranteeing him $200 million when, like we said, he could be seriously underpaid for the next 10 years.
Or he could snap his leg tomorrow and never play again and still have $200 million. Look at what's happened with Alex Smith. Alex, it's starting to look more and more likely, may not play football again. Now, he got his big payday, but what if he'd signed a 10-year deal worth $200 million? Instead, he's going to end up with what, $35, $40 million? I'm just saying. I understand, yeah. But I mean, this it's one of those things. Now, Mahomes might be at an age where he bets on himself, right? But here's the thing. A 10-year contract, Mahomes is only 23. That means he would still have one more payday even if he stays healthy. And $200 million guaranteed. Double the guarantees that any player has ever gotten. Aaron Rodgers got $98 million guaranteed in his.
I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm just simply stating I don't think that they're going to be willing to sign a contract for 10 years, $200 million guaranteed.
Man.
I would love it if they would. I would absolutely love it if they would. I think it'd be a great deal for Kansas City, although that can really screw your cap up.
Yes, it can.
For years to come.
Hell, man.
For years to come.
For years. And that's the risk the team takes on with that, right? Is if we miss on this, this means we can't pay another quarterback for a decade. That's so long. And I mean, most players, I don't think you could trust with that kind of thing. That's $200 million no matter what you do.
But here is the issue that you're going to run into with that. And I think it goes a lot further than just to being Mahomes. I think you're going to look at, I don't think that Clark Hunt is going to want to give that kind of offer out, because that then sets precedent for starting to give guaranteed deals to players. And I don't think that's the way the NFL wants to go.
But it happened with Cousins, and he has a lot less leverage.
It did happen with Cousins, and it happened with Cousins because Minnesota wanted him. That's the only way they could get him.
Exactly. Imagine saying, man, what if in 5 years, when the salary cap's $250 million, we're only paying our quarterback $20 million a year? Wouldn't that be sweet?
It would be awesome, because then you could do a lot of things with your salary cap, your open cap, salary cap space, and I completely agree with it. It'd be fantastic for Kansas City if they were able to get that done. I just do not see them being able to get that done.
What do you think the guaranteed number has to be in order for them to agree to that? And again, we're going to talk about Alex Okafor at some point. I'm just this fascinates me. Maybe we'll talk about him in the third segment, because I really wrote a very extensive film review and I'm really excited about the guy. I'm excited about him. I'm not ecstatic. No offense, Mr. Okafor. So what do you think the number has to be? What if it's 10 years, $250 million guaranteed?
Maybe. The issue you're running into is you have a situation where Aaron Rodgers is getting, what, $33
million
a year?
Yes.
APY? So, is he really going to be willing to take that haircut? Now, granted, it's all guaranteed, but generally speaking, and let's be fair about it, of all of the contracts that people will get out of, what are the most likely contracts that are going to be guaranteed that the teams are going to pay the entire
quarterbacks?
Exactly. So he's likely guaranteed the money. The only thing that would change is injury.
Yep. This is essentially if you suddenly get injured, you are still set for life contract, and set for life with a quarter of a billion dollars.
Well, but you're set for life with $100 million.
No,
so
it's not guaranteed.
Well, but yeah, but if they're giving him a contract better than Rodgers, they got to beat the guarantee, and I guarantee you they're going to.
Sure. Oh, okay. So I see what you say. They'll just compare it to a regular structure, and that does totally make sense. But the problem is, again, I think we tend to look at numbers that get big, and we think $100 million and $250 million are the same thing because they're both giant numbers. They are very different numbers.
Oh, no, I completely agree. They're very different numbers. I'm a numbers guy. That has nothing to do with my point. My point is that you're sitting here talking about giving him basically an $8 million a year haircut to give him another $150 million guarantee.
Exactly. Think of the sentence you just said.
I understand that.
You think I can be bought with $150 million? And I would say yes. That's exactly what I think. I think I can buy you with $150 million.
And I'm telling you, I don't disagree that it's a plausible thought. The issue is it really going to be worth it to the player? Because generally speaking, of all of the deals that are least likely to be or most likely to be guaranteed the entire term of the contract, QB deals are most likely to be guaranteed.
Unless they Derek Carr.
I don't think he's right. Right. But Mahomes is better than Derek Carr. We've already seen
he
that.
Is. He is. But we thought Derek Carr was the next big thing. Okay, maybe I didn't. But some people did.
No.
We'll agree to disagree. Whatever. I thought it was a great idea, but you hate fun and Chris Jones. So I thought, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Chris, if you hear this, you know, we're talking on Twitter, so just ignore Seth. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's all right.
And so, all right, we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back, talk about Alex Okafor. I reviewed 5 of his games every snap, and I have takes. So we'll come back right after this.
All right, so what we started saying we were going to talk about, I guess we need to kind of talk about now, Alex Okafor.
Alex Okafor and your continued loathing of Chris Jones. And
keep trying, Seth.
So, Alex Okafor, you had something interesting to say. You know, you talked about he's more of a run stopper. Here's something interesting.
I'm not saying he can't rush the passer. I'm just saying that he's not going to be D Ford when it comes to pass rush. He's not going to be even close to D Ford.
We can throw out D Ford comparisons. I'm talking about on his own, thinking about just him. He can play. Now, here's the interesting thing. In 2017, he actually was one of the top 5 guys in PFF's pass rush productivity, which takes into account, you know, pressures, hits, and sacks per time, you know, when you think about it, proportionate to the number of times that you rushed. I do the whole win-loss percentage thing. Fun fact. Okafor's win percentage last year, higher than D Ford's. Now, something to take into account. Also, when you say that, that factors in run defense as well. So a big part of that is because he was a lot better in run defense, right? But here's what I would say with Okafor. If they had signed, and this is kind of a tortured thought process, but walk with me here. I have a lot of those, so I think you're used to it by now. If the Chiefs had signed Alex Okafor this last season, like say you rewind everything for him by a year, right, to where he's coming off the exact same type of 2 years that he's just had, right? I think Chiefs fans would be screaming in excitement about what an upgrade he is over D Ford as a pass rusher and a run defender. Because until last season, Ford didn't do anything like what Okafor has done the last few years. In terms of being a consistently productive pass rusher. And that's where it gets interesting for me because Okafor, it's easy to say, and he is better against the run, make no mistake, and you are absolutely right. He's not as good at rushing the passer as 2018 D Ford or 2018 or any year of Justin Houston. But when you're not comparing him to elite edge defenders or really high-level edge defenders, I guess that is, he's a solid pass rusher. He can actually contribute there. At least he did in New Orleans. So what do you think about that?
And I wasn't trying to take anything away from the guy. I'm just saying you have to realize, and this goes back to what Nick Jacobs was saying earlier and something that Therese said this weekend as well. This scheme is going to be a lot different. You're not going to be expecting big sack numbers from your DEs in this defense. I really do think, you know, it was talked about how D Ford play. Therese said something this weekend about D Ford playing at 233 pounds during the season. Mm-hmm. There is no way he could play a 4-3 D end in this defense that Spags is wanting to run and be effective stopping the run, which is one of the biggest things there. And as Therese also stated, Daly is going to want to use stunts and different twists to get rushes. And that's not going to be something you can do with a 233-pound defensive end.
And that's something that Okafor was asked to do a lot in New Orleans. Absolutely. Interestingly enough.
And I love that fit. I think it's going to be fantastic.
And so that I'm excited about the addition for a couple reasons. One, because they desperately needed talent. You know, they needed talent so badly. They needed even an average player to sign along the edge. A proven average player would have been nice to have, right?
Well, and the big thing is this opens up to where you can do anything now in the draft, almost.
Yes. To an extent. Missing out on Darby makes that tough. Because
it does, but at the same time, I mean, you can go and get a corner in the second round. It's going to be hard to know where things are going to lie until the week of the draft.
Yes.
And until then, I mean, it's hard to know who's going to be there at 29 or anywhere close to 29. Kansas City has plenty of ammo to go get somebody.
I still think that they are going to be looking for defensive line, whether it's edge or interior, in the draft. And I think they're still going to look for a corner, whether to trade for someone. At this point, I almost wish they would trade for someone, because the guys that are left in free agency, now Denard can play, who they're having a visit with as we record. But there's no word on whether he's going to sign. And then word came out he was asking the Bengals for 10 mil per. And I don't see the Chiefs coughing up that kind of money for him.
And nor should they.
And that, you know, that's a tough gig right there. So, and Denard can play. I don't think he's quite as high end as Darby on the outside, especially, you know.
Well, but he's more of an interior corner. He's more of a slot corner than he is an outside corner.
That's assuming that I believe in the distinction. I'm still kind of with Hayward on it, where I'm like, you know, I don't know. Me and Chris Harris Jr. think that I don't know if you can pigeonhole guys in there that much. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I see too many guys move in and out, and they look like the same guy to me, whether they're inside or outside. But that, again, I'm in the minority in that opinion. So here's the interesting thing to me with Okafor. He's not just an average guy. He's not just a guy that, you know, you plug him in and hopefully he doesn't hurt you. I think he can play a little bit. He's definitely a big, strong guy with a lot of length. He does a nice job against the run, and he's got a pretty nice array of power rush moves. And I think that could be enough, especially with his experience running stunts, twists, that kind of thing. I think it could be enough. Provided the scheme it works as well as they hope it will, I think that could be enough to generate a pretty decent pass rush between him and Jones.
Yep. And I do think Speaks is going to be involved in that as well. I know he didn't have the best year, but I think this scheme is going to bring a lot more out in him, because this scheme is going to be a lot better suited to his talents, in my opinion.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it would. And I'm really starting to wonder, and I know we don't really have time to talk about this, but, you know, does Pastineau still fit in this defense at all? With his size, I really don't know if he's going to be a guy that can fit in this defense. Maybe he's the type of guy that they use as a wide nine in specific situations.
Pastineau? I think he can play D end. I mean, he is a big 290, that dude.
That's true.
And so, but it'll be interesting to see, because he hasn't gotten on the field at all. And so, Okafor, interesting guy. We'll see how he does within the scheme, but he could potentially be the guy. Everyone's excited about Tyrann Mathieu, and they should be. I reviewed his film as well. We've talked about him excessively. But in a year or two, people could be looking back and view Okafor as the steal of this free agent group, because he signed to such a reasonable contract.
Well, we really don't even know the numbers on that yet. If you look at the Tyrann Mathieu deal, it's $42 million, but it's not near the contract that it sounded like it could have been to start with. And you look at the deal that they also did for Wilson, the new linebacker, it's only really a one-year deal, and we'll see. So Kansas City is basically set up right now. They have a safety, which was one of their biggest needs. They have a Sam linebacker, which I still don't know about what they're going to do for their Mike and the Will linebacker, although they seem to think they know. And now they have a D end. So they have almost every position filled except for corner. If they signed Denard, it really opens up a lot of things if he's willing to sign and not do a $10 million a year deal, because I don't think he's worth that. That would really open up things you could do in the draft. I still think they're going to be moving up and trying to get a better player than they could at 29.
I could definitely see that.
Anyway, that is going to be it for us today. Thank you for listening very much. And as always, you can find Seth at The Athletic. And Seth, what do you have coming out this week?
Depends on whether there's any more free agent signings. I'd like to do a reaction piece on free agency in general. And then I'm going to try to start looking ahead to the draft a little bit. Maybe write about Mahomes because I haven't in like a month and I'm kind of itching to do that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.